Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Ross Tucker does a phenomenal job covering the Eagles and the entire National Football League. Of course, an announcer for CBS television in the games and the Ross Report and at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. He joins us every single Wednesday at this time. Good morning, Ross.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Doing well, bud.
I mean, we wish we're, you know, better, but it is what it is. You got to deal with what you got. We got a team right now I'm concerned about. Ross, is it too far when I said yesterday and today that I think the Eagles actually are average, not look average, are average, do you think that's too far or on point?
I think it's reasonable to discuss. I do. I think, and I've been listening for a while, and I'll go back to kind of what Seth said. By far, the most concerning thing to me right now is the defense, because especially the defensive line, but there's some issues at linebacker too. They can't stop the run, and they can't rush the passer. You can't play that way, okay? If you have a good run defense, then you can bring pressure. You can get them in obvious passing situations, and you can bring pressure. If you have a good pass rush, but you're struggling against the run, you can bring an extra safety down. You can do things schematically to help you against the run. If you can't do either, you're in a really bad place. And I know we'll get to it, but by the way, they're going against, on Sunday, the most impressive team in the NFL so far, which is a whole other thing where when we looked at their schedule, we thought, okay, Packers is hard, but then they have three NFC South teams. Well, they lost to one, and the next two are both undefeated and are looking really good, which is a whole other issue for their schedule. But I think it's fair, based on how they've played the first two games, to say right now they are an average team. You know, for Jalen Hurts to have that much time to throw and nobody's open, I think one thing that we're not talking about enough is just how much we realize Monday night how much of a difference A.J. Brown makes for this team.
Yep.
I mean, with A.J. Brown, they probably win that game by two scores. So when you think about him getting a new contract again, he makes over $30 million, I think he's probably worth it. There's no chance that they lose that game if A.J. Brown plays Monday night.
Is the offense farther ahead or farther behind where you expected it to be right now? And what where should it be this week? What do you expect to see against a really tough opponent?
Right, so I would say a little bit further behind than I thought. I also think it's hard to tell for sure because A.J. Brown did not play in this game.
Mm-hmm.
My frustration level was, number one, I thought they should have run it more. You know, they had that drive, and we're all talking about the decision to go for it on fourth and four in the first quarter, which I did not like. But I think what was more frustrating to me, Saquon was averaging 10 yards a carry on that drive, and then they get down in the red zone, and maybe he was gassed or tired, I don't know, but then they give Gainwell the ball twice.
Two in a row, yep.
And then there's two incompletions. And it's like, well, wait a minute. First of all, why are we not giving the ball to Saquon when they can't stop him and we're rolling them off the ball and he's on fire? And then third and fourth down, we don't get him the ball at all. I thought that was frustrating. But I guess I was hoping, based on training camp, that Jalen Hurts' back foot would hit at the end of his drop and the ball would be out more than it is. And then even, I mean, guys, he had like 6 seconds to throw on a number of passes.
Yes.
In the NFL, there should be like three guys open. Once you get to 4 seconds, there should be three guys open. Now, in fairness to everybody involved, I haven't gone back and watched the All-22 to see if guys are open to Hurts isn't throwing it or nobody's open or whatever. But regardless, It should never be the case that the O-line is holding these guys for 6 seconds and nobody's open. That can never happen.
So 6 seconds is well protected. That is the definition of well protected. So the new protection scheme, Ross, that we've been talking about all offseason, that worked, correct?
Yes, I have no issue with the offensive line right now, other than the ineligible man downfield penalties, which are very frustrating because it's a point of emphasis for the NFL. Here's the deal, guys. Once the chest of an offensive lineman is 2 yards downfield, they only give you 1 yard, right? But they're not going to call it unless your chest is 2 yards downfield. Guys, Juergens and Lane are like 5 yards downfield.
Wasn't even close.
When the ball, so here's the thing. Either Hurts needs to throw the ball right away or run it. Otherwise, it's going to be a penalty if he doesn't throw it right away. Yeah. Or they need to do a better job talking to the offensive lineman and saying, hey, guys, I know you hear it as a called run, but it's an RPO. We want you to throttle down a little bit before you get to the second level and or, okay, let the second level defender come to you. So go a couple yards downfield, but stop and have the linebacker come to you. I'm disappointed because I do believe they are, in general, a well-coached team, especially the offensive line. I'm disappointed that they're still having that issue.
Totally.
It's been a couple years now, and it's the second game, and they have it 3 times.
Ross Tucker with us. So, Ross, I want to circle back to the Saquon thing. I agree with you, it was frustrating when he didn't stay in that drive, but I also understood it. And I just want to frame this for a moment. So, you know, he had already ripped off 4 long runs, long meaning 9 or 10 yards in that drive. And I knew he was going to come out because, like, let me just give you quick math that's, to me, important for everyone to know. So he's touched the ball in both games 26 times, okay? That's 52 times already. If a player in a 21-game season, and that's what you're going to have to play if you don't get the bye and you win the Super Bowl, if a player touches the ball 26 times per game, 21 times, that's 546 touches in a season. That's why he's removed from the game. 546, like, that is not sustainable. And Ross, I do believe there's a misconception amongst fans today because football used to be based on give John Riggins the ball 25 times. Give it to Bronco Nagurski. Was he a running back?
Yes.
Okay.
Here's
my point. This is when football used to have 10 games a year, 12 games a year, 14 games a year. Now there's 17 plus 4 postseason games. Saquon Barkley cannot have the ball 546 times. That's why he's off the field at times. By the way, that's what he's on pace for right now. I just want to say that. All right. Ross, let's get to the decision Sirianni made at the end. Kellen Moore made at the end. One of them. To throw the ball in the flat to Saquon Barkley. I was okay with it. Many think it was dumb. What say you?
Yeah, so I think two points I think really need to be made in this discussion. Nobody is bringing up, wasn't there 2 other 4th downs where they went for it in the game and got it?
First quarter they didn't get okay,
it.
So and
no,
got
there
it?
Was four. There was four.
Okay.
Because I thought there was the first quarter one where they didn't get it, the end of the game. Well, the end of the game, it was a 3rd down.
Sure.
But there was one where Hurts ran for it. And there was another one where he threw it to Goddard. Like these are both like second, third quarter maybe.
Yep.
Oh, but okay. Those are sort of glossed over because they don't serve the
Yeah, I mean,
negative.
But
listen, you guys do a good job of looking at this holistically. I thought, Joe, you just made a phenomenal point about Saquon's touches. Phenomenal, because it's true. But when we have to talk about this, nobody talks about the 2 4th downs. One of those I thought was obvious to go for. The other one I thought, wow, I'm a little surprised they're going. But then they got it, you know, and Hurts ran for it or whatever. So you have to look at all of these. The other thing, I really didn't like the first one. I thought they should have kicked the field goal. Okay, what I haven't heard talked about yet, which is really important, to my knowledge, I believe the Eagles have the best analytics department in the NFL, okay? Or at least maybe the biggest. So that first one in the first quarter that Devin was talking about earlier, where they go for it on 4th down, I don't like that at all. They have all the numbers regarding whether you score a touchdown to take a lead early versus a field goal. Listen, if you kick a field goal there, okay, you're up 3-0, but then you kick off to them, they get the ball at the 30, blah, blah, blah. If you go for it, there's a high percentage chance you get it. They didn't, but if you don't get it, the other team still has the ball at the 7-yard line or whatever it was. So I just want to take – I want people to understand the context. Yes, Sirianni is making these decisions, but he is backed up by heavy analytics and information. And I believe the Eagles have someone that, like, that's all they do. Right.
Well, there's no question that's someone all they do.
You know what also? They're telling him the thoughts.
Rog, you know what also goes into this? Opponent? Now, I'm not saying the Falcons are great. They're not. But part of it could be the thought process, hey, we're going to need points tonight because my defensive line isn't going to get to Kirk Cousins.
Well, so that's the whole thing. There's all these models. I don't want to get too into the weeds, but there's all these analytical models, right? Well, did they adjust the model to say that A.J. Brown wasn't playing?
Well, I mean, they should.
Did they adjust the model to say that they're struggling on defense? So the second decision, Saquon's wide open. He's got to catch the ball. We all recognize that. I'll go back to the point where it's 3rd and 3, okay? You have what I believe is still the best offensive line in the NFL, and you have a quarterback who is a very powerful runner. You have a high-priced running back. I would argue that, you know, Jalen could have had a bad pass there. Like, the guy could have gotten in the way and batted it down. I saw that in a couple games on Sunday. I didn't love the decision because I think there's a decent chance they get 3 yards if they run it with their quarterback or they run it with Saquon. Even if they don't get 3 yards, there's a decent chance they get 2, and then maybe they do the tush push on 4th down and they get it. I mean, heck, they probably could have gotten it on 2 tush pushes.
They probably could have.
3, the way that thing's going. Yeah. So that's why I didn't like it, because whatever percentage chance is that they make it or not, it's not. The pass is not significantly higher percent chance to make it than the run to take that risk, in my opinion.
All right, so Ross with us. By the way, with all this Eagles consternation and frustration, I'm going to try to make people feel a little better here in the next couple of minutes as it relates to our Fightin' Phils. We're going to be in October in 2 weeks. We'll get to that shortly. Tom in Abington right now. Yo, Tom.
Yo, gang. How are we doing this morning?
Hi, Tom.
What's up, Tom?
Doing great.
Hey, before I get into the birds, quick question, Joe. What's a bigger kryptonite for you, chocolate or cantaloupe?
Well, first off, let me just say I've completely...
James loved that one.
Yeah, he did.
The cantaloupe jokes just work every time for
me. I've completely cheated on not eating chocolate.
How long did it last?
Like a week.
It lasted about 2 weeks. Last night, I ordered a sundae. Delivered to Amy from Villanova's house.
Oh my God.
Why?
Because
this was you holding
it's
out.
Chocolate, caramel, vanilla ice cream.
Hold on a second. Where Oreo did you order bits. It from?
I'm not supposed to give out free this advertising. A place.
Okay, but here's
a place
my question.
Villanova or in Villanova.
But how do you do that? Wasn't it already melted by the time it got to your house?
No, it was a little less than you'd want, but it was totally fine.
So you cheated with the chocolate. Did you cheat with the cantaloupe?
It would only be cheating with the cantaloupe if I had promised that I wouldn't. No, I never did that, Tom. For those that don't know, I had a roommate that had an inappropriate relationship with a cantaloupe. It was not me.
As one does.
It was my roommate.
Joe says it was multiple.
An American Pie situation?
Correct.
Yes.
And Ross, you ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm not making this up. My junior year of college.
Roommate.
He heated it up in the microwave in advance.
Quote,
ew.
Roommate.
He wanted it warm.
It is an details for this to be your friend.
All right.
That is so.
So wait a minute. Also, I'm just very concerned. Like
I'm concerned too.
Cantaloupes are very sticky.
Listen, I'm moving on.
Here we
Tom,
go.
Tom, give me a sports point.
So the Eagles, yes, the Eagles. So I told you guys in the beginning of the year the winning combination would be for Nish Sirianni to stay out of the way and let the coordinators cook.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I blame Mish on this loss. Is he aggressive or is he conservative? What is he?
Terrible, man.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying. with his fourth down approach earlier with the Eagles ending up with 0 points on that drive. It's just like, if you're going to do that, then stick with it the entire game, because then later they settled for a field goal.
So I don't agree with. I mean, you're factually right. That's what happened. But I, Tom, appreciate the call. So I disagree with the concept that he's got to be one thing or the other. First off. Circumstances are different. Time, score.
Situation. Team you're playing, as you just mentioned. Right. The defense you're facing, all these things.
Factor everything in.
Yeah, I will
factor it all.
I will say this, and this goes
Mish
for...
Mish is funny, though,
it is
by
funny.
The way.
This goes for Sirianni, goes for Doug, goes for the Eagles organization. They are, in recent years, more aggressive than most teams. Now, a lot of teams have caught up to what the Eagles did. I mean, Collinsworth was blown away in the Super Bowl. They're going for it, fourth and goal. Why not kick the field goal? And we all knew. We had seen that team that year. We knew Doug was going to go for it. And we also know, looking back, it was the wise decision, not just because it was converted. I mean, it's you get 7 points for a yard. You get 3 points for a field goal.
You're playing Tom Brady. Yeah, that was part of it.
Who scored 33.
Exactly.
The situational thing with Monday night was the only chance the Atlanta Falcons had to win was to get the ball back when they did.
I disagree.
And that's why they still scored
a touchdown.
My opinion.
No, but here, but Ray, here's what I'll say. If the Eagles run it on third down, let's say they run it down to a minute, kick a field goal, you're up six. Now, I know your theory, you could go for it on fourth.
Yeah.
Which you could have.
Yeah.
Okay, but you also could. I mean, let's.
They're going to get the ball back under a minute, and they're going to be on what, the 5 yard line.
It's about 55 seconds. Yeah. Now it depends on whether the Eagles kick it in the end zone or not. I mean, some of these teams kick it in the end zone when they don't have to. I don't understand why that happens, but okay. So I mean, meaning when there's limited time on the clock, there is a chance that the other team's going to get the ball on the 30 yard line with 55 seconds to go, down six. You can still lose that game.
I'm just telling you, the Atlanta Falcons were thrilled that the Eagles threw it there and kicked the ball.
Well, I'll say this.
If Saquon catches it, they're not thrilled because they lose the game.
They weren't thrilled while the ball was in the air to an open Saquon.
Oh, sure.
They were thrilled when he dropped it.
They were thrilled when he dropped it because of the time they had left to go on the field.
But I get that. But if he catches the ball, the game's over. All right. So, like I said, consternation on the Eagles. So, here's something that you may know, you may not know. And we should never take this for granted, okay? Tonight, the Phillies can make the playoffs. Let's just take a moment, take it in. Guys, how many years from 2012, we could add up the years. I'm asking that question. So I guess that would be rhetorical, right?
Yes.
How many years? How many games? How many boring days from 2012 through September, I think it was actually October 3rd of 2022 when they clinched, but whatever. The point is, it was brutal for a decade. And by the way, that's not like the only decade it's been brutal with no Phils. Now, tonight...
It's been a lot more brutal than not in our lifetime, is a good way to put it.
They still have the most losses in the history of North American sports.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they still had a stretch of 32 years about 100 years ago when they were below 500, 31 out of 32 years.
I saw one playoff appearance in my first 26 years of life. Like, you're right. A little, you know, less
totally.
Than that. But
all right, so here's my point. Enjoy it tonight. It's probably not going to be a massive celebration, and it shouldn't be. Rob Thompson said yesterday they'll do a little something tonight if they get there, but they're really going to more wait for the, you know, popping the champagne and really going nuts or whatever form of nuts they choose to go, you know, once they win the division, which clearly they will. But here's what it requires tonight to get to the playoffs: a Phillies win or a Braves loss. That's it. And unfortunately, the Braves play first. So there's a chance the Braves play an hour earlier. There's a chance the Braves lose, and then, like, the Phillies find out in the sixth inning they've made the playoffs. That would kind of be that would be a bummer. But just for I want to just give people a taste. When you make the playoffs, don't take it for granted. Like, how about, and this was 10 years in the making when they did this in 93.
Ground ball, it's fair ball, Kroc to Paul. The Phillies are the 93 National League Eastern Division champions. This wonderful band of throwback players has won the National League East, mobbing one another on the field.
Just a tremendous moment. How about in 07 when it had been 14 years? And they broke through to make the postseason.
Myers has the sign from Briscoe's. Curveball struck him out. The Phillies are National League East champions. Look at the scene on the field. Look at the scene on the stands. This is incredible. The Phillies are National League East champions and will go to the postseason for the first time since 1993.
How about in 2022 when they made it for the first time in 11 years?
And here it is. Swung on, popped up, shallow center, coming on Marsh on the run. And the Phillies, for the first time in 11 years, will head back to the postseason.
What's my point? Twofold. One, enjoy it tonight. Two, never take it for granted. Because we could have played highlights of silence that would signify the years they didn't make the postseason. I mean, how many times did Harry and Richie call bad teams? How many times did Scott Fransky and Tom McCarthy have called
about
bad teams?
About 10, 11 years.
Right? I mean, it was brutal. So they got a shot for three in a row. They're going to obviously do it. Whether it's tonight or tomorrow, it's going to happen. And hey, here's really what I'm driving at. As down as we feel about the Eagles, and hopefully they can turn this thing around, in 2 weeks, the Phillies are in the playoffs, and we here at WIP, not only carrying the games, we will be all over it.
And
we got a shot, ladies and gentlemen. We got a shot in a month and a half. We got a real shot for a parade. So as bad as we feel about the Eagles, don't lose sight of that. All right. 215-592-9494.
It will lift us. This team is going to.
Well, unless they don't.
Plan to. We
91
should all be
points
so
in the first two games. I am like petrified that they're going to get run over.
Wait, which team? The Phillies?
We were talking about the Phillies.
Oh, sorry, the Phillies.
So look, the Eagles mode.
Yeah. How great though that you get, you know, Wheeler. Hey, Zach, here's the ball. Go do your thing. First game of October. He's an incredible pitcher. He proved it again last night. All right, let's go to the phones. Ross Tucker with us, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Zach right now. Hi, Zach.
Was the cantaloupe ripe?
All right. All right. Let me just say this.
Why did you ever tell that story?
Because it was a roommate and I thought it was funny. Now people misconstrue. Here's my response to you, Zach.
You should keep your mouth shut.
Thank you. All right. Go ahead, Zach.
So before I get into my point, I just wanted to thank you guys for the Green Day tickets. My brother and I went. It was easily one of the best concerts that we'd ever been to. And I just wanted to thank you guys for that opportunity.
That's awesome,
nice,
Zach.
Man. They're a great band.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Joe, I'm going to kind of lay into you a little more here. I know your eyes are set on Howie Rosen being the reason, and I agree. Bryce Huff was a terrible decision. I think we all had to kind of convince ourselves that it was a good idea, but we all kind of felt, not great. But we celebrated Nolan Smith. We celebrated Jordan Davis getting picked up. I put this squarely on the players right now. It's early in the season to blame Howie, but right now the players just aren't playing.
Well, listen, it's a tough one to figure out who's more to blame. I will agree with you that I would say we were more excited when Nolan Smith was picked than Jordan Davis because he felt like a bonus. as a player that was supposed to go earlier and got taken at 31 or 32. I guess it was 31.
Zach, the players just aren't playing. Like, that's just not acceptable either. You know, like, I've given a lot of flexibility to our quarterback and to everyone else, you know, saying, hey, they need to be coached better. And it really does matter the way they're coached. They need to be guided properly. But at this point, if they're not doing it as a defender, like, what else do they need to be, like, instructed in? Like, Monday night, watching our defense flounder against the run, that had nothing to do with anything schematic. That was all toughness and want to. Like, that's the way I felt. Like, why are our linebackers not fighting harder than they are?
So I add one more thing to that, John. You may disagree, but this is what I keep coming back to, particularly with Nolan Smith and Bryce Huff. They just might not be good enough. Marcus Smith wasn't good enough. Danny Watkins wasn't good enough. Some guys, Joe, just they're not good.
Joe, can I chime in on a couple
things? Sure, Ross, go ahead.
One is, and it hasn't been talked about enough, okay, we all loved what Zach Bond did against the Packers,
yep,
right?
Yep.
If you go back and watch the tape against the Falcons, they cut him down to the ground at least five times. And so when you saw those huge holes for Bijan Robinson, it's because Lindstrom, the right guard for the Falcons, was cutting Bond down like a tree. And here's the thing. This is one of the issues. If you have a guy playing off the ball inside linebacker who's never done it before. He looked like a guy that's never taken on a cut block.
Yeah.
And he got cut down over, like, it was a highlight tape for their right guard. So that's a huge reason why. So everybody's killing the D-line, and I get it. But Bond's inexperience taking on cut blocks was a gigantic factor in the run defense. And then one other thing, because I keep hearing everybody talk about Huff. The Nolan Smith thing is concerning. We'll see whether or not he's a productive NFL player. We don't have to guess about Huff. They don't give out sacks like the ones he got last year from the Jets. Go back and watch his double-digit sacks last year from the Jets. They are impressive. The Jets were upset that they lost him, which is why they traded for Reddick, which has been a disaster. Bryce Huff is a proven pass rusher at this level. He played terrible against the run against the Falcons, and he has shown zero pass rush whatsoever at this point. So I think it's incumbent upon the Eagles to, at this point, what I would do, I would only put him out there in obvious passing situations like the Jets did last year and say, okay, forget all the stuff. We're trying to make you an every down player. Forget all that. We're putting you in on second and third and long and just do what you did for the Jets. Because everybody keeps saying, I heard Seth say it. I heard you, Joe, say it. The guy can't play. That's inaccurate. He can play. We all saw him play last year. It's why the Eagles gave him that much money.
Look, Russ, I'm not saying your idea is inconceivable and they might not get there soon. But I will tell you this. If he is a situational player, he is incredibly overpaid at $51 million.
Hey, guess what? I'd rather have him situationally getting pressures and hits on the quarterback and sacks than full-time doing nothing.
And, Ross, how often when he gets in there, when he becomes that situational guy, is our opponent just going to run it directly at him?
Well, if it's third and nine, they're not. They're not.
It's third and long, they're not going to, John.
Let me play some audio of Ray. Ray talked to us yesterday about Bryce Huff when Ray was on the show. Here's what Ray Diddy said. Bryce Huff, is he just not good, Ray?
Two games, you don't want to write off that kind of investment after two games. But I was going to say I don't like what I've seen, but the fact is I haven't seen it. I haven't seen anything. That's the scary part. Is that he has been utter? He's been invisible. And the couple times that you did see him, I heard John say a couple minutes ago that he was getting handled, and he was. There's no other way of describing it. And
we've seen weakness and ineptitude.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's really a very good way of describing it, which is really troubling. And and what you were seeing last night in the little bit of limited exposure where you could actually kind of see him, where he actually shows up in the frame, which is hard to believe. I mean,
this is awful.
Sometimes
he's not even in the frame. But I mean, not only was he giving you zero pass rush, which has now been true for two whole games, but on the occasion when he was on the field and they ran the ball, he is either utterly unwilling or utterly incapable of setting an edge.
Look, that's a big problem. All right.